There are renewed calls to kill cormorants in the Great Lakes region. Now, there are far fewer of these migratory birds left in this region. But anglers and some lawmakers say there are still too many, and they eat too many fish. Fish people want to catch. This accusation is nothing new for cormorants. Interlaken Public Radio's Peter Payette has the story.
Double-crested cormorants are large, glossy blackbirds. In the springtime, their throats are bright orange.
They get emerald green eyes that have, like, usually around the lids, so they turn bright blue.
That's Nancy Seafelt, a researcher from Central Michigan University.
They're not ducks. They're not pelicans.
But she says they do have big webbed feet and are built to swim.
They're amazing underwater. On land, they're very awkward. They stand up very upright, but they trip over each other all the time and themselves.
Fans like Nancy Seafelt are few and far between for this bird. Even James Audubon had a mixed reaction to cormorants. He wrote that they eat and defecate, quote, inordinately, and have no song to charm, only grunts. These are cormorants near South Manitou Island. They're nesting on a shipwreck, partially out of the water. What people dislike most about these birds is not the croaking, but how much fish they eat, more than a pound a day. In a few places, research has shown the birds ruined popular fishing destinations. So people in the Great Lakes have wanted cormorants killed since at least the 1990s, when they began showing up here in large numbers. Ornithologist Francie Cuthbert says the outcry was relentless back then.
Cormorants caused unmeasurable stress for state, particularly state agencies, but also the federal agency, Fish and Wildlife Service, was under. They had employees that's all they did was deal with cormorant issues.
In 2003, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service agreed to use lethal control to protect sport fish. That meant shooting double-crested cormorants and oiling their eggs to prevent chicks from hatching. More than 500,000 birds have been killed in the eastern United States under this federal approval. And in the upper Great Lakes, humans cut the nesting population down to a third of its original size. But a federal judge shut down the control program in 2016, saying there was no proof it was necessary. And residents of coastal communities want that power back.
So we sure got a beautiful day anyway.
Jeff Powers anchors his boat on the east side of Whiskey Island. Cormorants are nesting in dead trees along the shore here. The birds actually kill trees and other vegetation because their feces is acidic.
You can see like tiers of nests up in there. That tree right over there, there's got 1, 2, 3, 4 I can see.
Whiskey Island is part of the Beaver Island Archipelago in northern Lake Michigan. More than 11,000 cormorant nests were counted on these islands in 2007. Fewer than 2,000 were counted 2 years ago, thanks to control. Jeff Powers helped with that effort. He's a veterinarian who also owns the hardware store on Beaver Island. Powers sees cormorants as an invader here and says they weren't known to nest in this area until 50 years ago.
They were not considered to be native nesters here. So it's an unnatural situation with all these birds here, and the only long-term solution is continued control.
Without control, Powers says they're seeing problems in places like Whiskey Island. He pulls out a drone to show me. As the drone moves over the island, the camera shows rows of dead trees.
See, I'm several layers into the island, and there's still nests there. So this used to be just a one row along the shoreline, and now it's looks like 5 or 6 rows or 10 rows in spots. Looks like they're just continuing to just move and expand the colony here.
But ornithologists doubt that cormorants will become very abundant in the upper Great Lakes again. Jim Ludwig has been studying birds here his entire life. He says what happened in the 1980s and 90s was unusual because the lakes were full of little prey fish.
I'm fond of saying that all a colonial water bird had to do was fly out over the lake and open its bill and fall in, and it'd have fish, because there was a time period there where there were so many smelt and alewives around, and they were so readily available that there was no competition for food at all.
But prey fish are at record low levels now. So Ludwig says people that want to take up arms against cormorants seem to think the birds don't have a right to take any fish.
There has to be some rationality imposed here. Either that, or we ought to just say, okay, we'll make the Great Lakes into giant fish-rearing ponds for the public, and all other interests go away.
And Ludwig thinks the debate is about more than recreational fishing. He warns humans are in danger of forgetting what a natural system even looks like as the planet gets crowded and warm.
It's a debate and a concern we really need to explore, because what will life be like 3-4 generations from now if natural systems are gone? If natural systems are all, quote, managed, they'll be managed for some human purpose only. Is that the correct thing to do for the planet? Is that ethical?
But there won't be much debate about all this. Ludwig offered to speak at a congressional hearing in June and was not invited. Lawmakers like Arkansas Congressman Bruce Westerman were clear that they want control to resume.
Michiganders know better than anyone just how much damage an unchecked cormorant population can wield. It is my hope that the Fish and Wildlife Service can work to avoid this same outcome and swiftly restore the abilities to successfully manage cormorants.
On Thursday, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service meets with state and tribal officials in Lansing. They'll explore whether lethal control of cormorants is needed to protect Great Lakes fish. Meanwhile, Michigan Congressman Jack Bergman has introduced legislation that would force the agency to again approve killing the birds. For Stateside, I'm Peter Payette.